It's the 22nd of June. It's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Rhodes.
Hello.
And Nikki.
Hello.
There's some sort of football match, so we're recording a bit earlier than we usually would, which means if there's any breaking news after 8 p.m, we're not going to report on it, because this podcast will come out at the usual time at 10 p.m. And you can blame one of the current people here for this change in schedule.
It's Nikki. Nikki is the football fan, of course.
I don't even know the rules of football. I grew up with rugby.
Football in goal.
Kickball in goal.
That's the rule for every sport, isn't it? Anyway, we're not here to talk about sport. We're here to talk about video games, none of which are sport video games, before you say that.
Wait for it.
Okay, let's go over what we've been playing this past week, and we'll start with Don't Talk About Sports Games, Rhodes.
You're right. I've been playing some sport now. I haven't.
Damn.
I
don't know.
I'm not going to talk about a particular game. I'm going to talk about a certain collection that's been on Steam this week. This week, called Steam Next Fest. Ace? Next Fest? Is that right?
Next Fest, yes.
Yeah. They had, for those who don't know, they had I wouldn't call it a little event, it's been a relatively big event for the past week, where Steam have put hundreds, I think, of demos,
yep,
games. They've had devs come in, they've done live streams, they talk about the games. You know, it basically just a nice big little event for smaller studios to get the games out. And I've been given a few of them.
A nice big little event.
A nice big little event. Did I say that? Fuck. Look, I've not done a podcast for a few weeks. You're looking like asleep, to be honest with you. 7 o'clock, it's my bedtime. It's not. But yeah, I've been playing a few of those. So I figured I'll go from worst to best of the games that I've played. Right. So the worst game I've played is, I've already forgotten the name of it because it was so fucking bad. Rabbit Hole. Holy shit. I don't know what this is. I've got to write a preview about this as well. Right. It's just Silent Hill, but like if someone made it in Roblox, that's the best way I can describe this game.
Game of the year.
No one gonna, not a single laugh. Absolutely. I spent all day thinking of that joke. You fucking bastards. But yeah, it is literally Silent Hill. You walk around the town, things are blocked off. It's got like this weird, like the zombies, and there's as far as I could tell, I kept picking up ammo, but I didn't have a gun. But I had a knife, and I could go up behind the zombies and like stab them. And it didn't matter where I stood, because like you can't swing the knife, you can only like stealth kill with it. And it didn't matter where I stood, the zombies couldn't see me. So I could just like walk around the back of them regardless and just stab and like carry on. I was like, it's not a great start, but you know, we'll move on to the next game, which was Death Trash. Which was alright. I've heard a lot of good things. I didn't click with it as well as other people do, but I do get why some people are raving about it a lot. It's like a, I don't know, it's like an isometric sort of RPG. Like think of like, not quite like sort of old school Fallout, but that sort of style. But it's a bit more morbid, like a bit more gory, which feels weird to say. But like, if you like Fallout, you'll like Death Trash. I didn't quite click with it, but you know, I think there's definitely some potential there. I can see if you like that genre a lot, you'll definitely like it.
Classic RPG.
A classic RPG, CRPG, a Krpug. That's what it is, a Krpug. I did Sable, which was really good. It's combatless, I think, from what I can tell. But you play as someone going on like the sort of coming of age tale called the Christ. I should take notes, really, shouldn't I?
Yes.
It's like a rite of passage. I think it's called The Gliding. Yeah, it's called The Gliding. I found it. It's fine. See, I took notes somewhere. But you get this little hover bike and there's like a little village and you can go around. Obviously, it's not the full game. I only got to play like half an hour to an hour. There's not a massive deal of content there, but it's absolutely gorgeous. Like, it's so good to just look at. And it was surprisingly a good game because I think they announced it like 3 years ago now. I remember seeing it and thinking, that looks nice, but you know, like, what's it? You know, what kind of game is it? How's it going to play? And it actually plays really well because it's not like, there's not, like I said, I don't think there's any combat in it from what I played. I think it's just an exploration slash puzzle game.
The trailer during E3 didn't show any combat.
Hmm. So I don't think there will be any combat in that. I think it's one of those just like very relaxed experiences. It seems to have like a bit of story, but it's one of them. Like it was a demo, so it didn't show too much. Like it didn't want to give too much away. But it definitely seems to be a narrative there. But it's just one of those games that I think if you play it, I think you'll love it. I don't know how popular it will be, but I think those who do play it will really love it. But that brings me on to the last game, which I think will be massively popular, which is Len's Island, because that is incredible. Like, this is just, it's Minecraft and the Stardew Valley, but like, it's so much better than what I've just said. Like, I've just completely done it a disservice by saying that. Like, it's...
You just said it's a terrible game.
I didn't say it's a terrible game. What are you talking about?
Because I don't like either of those games.
Ace, what do you mean you don't like those games? What do you mean? Look, right, you know, after weeks and weeks of negativity in this opening segment from me, I've got my negativity in the way at the start, don't get me wrong, but I'm trying to bring new light to the Greencast, right? I'm a changed man. And Len's Island is a beautiful, beautiful game where you can build beautiful structures. And there's a scary cave, I give it that. I don't like the cave. Don't go in there. But, you know, I'm happy just farming. I'm happy just putting up my logs. I'm not happy in the cave. It's really good. Check it out. I don't think the demos are available anymore. So it's coming out in like November, though. So it's fine. I think Sable's like maybe September and Death Trash is August. And Rabbit Hole is... Ignore that one. That one's shit.
I imagine most of these will be putting out demos at some point before they come out.
Yes, although with that being said, I do still have access to all the demos. If you downloaded any before now and they've gone off, you should still be able to play them from what I can tell.
Nikki, what about you? Did you partake in any demos?
I actually didn't, because I am a horrible person, I suppose. And also, I just forgot. But the game I've been playing... Well, I've played a couple of games over the last week. The one I'd like to talk about, I can't. But it'll be on. There'll be something about it on the site soon, so look forward to that. So what I will talk about is Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis, which came out recently. And yeah, it's kind of a sequel bracket, like air quote, it's sequel relaunch, new version. I don't really know. It's an overhaul of the game, takes place 1,000 years after the end of Phantasy Star Online 2, and it's slightly tweaked the systems. It's very pretty. But I thought I'd jump in, because when Phantasy Star Online 2 launched in the West, it was full of problems. Didn't really get a chance to play it. So I thought, well, this one seems to work. Let's jump in. And what followed was an hour and a half of making a character, because the character creator is great. 20 minutes of which were spent just trying to get my thighs the right size. Because my character, as Rhodes elegantly put it, is legs and thighs.
I mean, legs and thighs, like, they're both the same thing, really.
No, we appreciate them differently, my friend.
Do we?
But yeah, let's not get into that. It's not part of the shed yet. But yeah, it's. I'll be honest with you, I've probably only played it for like 20, 30 minutes. That the character creator was really interesting, and like, and as soon as I got dropped into the game and started moving around and actually like using some of the abilities, it just for some reason didn't immediately excite me. So there I was, this gigantically tall woman with massive thighs, just not doing anything. I guess I was expecting the game to have had a bit of an overhaul and feel less like a traditional Japanese MMO, but it still very much feels like a traditional Japanese MMO with the like long dialogue sections, very odd camera angles on cutscenes as well. I think in the first like 20-30 minutes, I saw more of one character's ass than I did her face.
I know exactly who you mean.
I couldn't even tell you her name. All I know is she has a nice ass.
Yeah, yeah, I can remember what her ass looks like, but I can't remember anything else about her.
I think she had a sword. I don't know. Oh, and then there was the guy who was just like, there was a topless guy who was just manspreading the entire time he talked to you, which was very uncomfortable.
I think that summarizes my experience with that game a lot, where there's a girl in it with a sword, and all it does is show you her ass, And then, like, monsters appear, and then the big muscly guy comes and saves you all and makes you all sit down and talk to him.
Yeah.
You both realize that Puce is screaming at his podcast player the names of these characters.
Yeah, I know, and I'm really sorry. I will go back and, like, give it a bit more time, see if it, like, gels maybe past that initial point. But, yeah, that kind of initial, like, opening just didn't really do it for me, but the character creator was lovely. Except for the breasts, and that sounds really weird, but the game lets you have more control over the size and shape of your character's breasts than I've seen in any character creator before. But it was very difficult to make non-anime breasts, like, just to make ones that, like, proportionally made sense, or that, like, just didn't look like they were about to, like, murder someone with their own physics. Not there in the end.
What an important question for the boob creator, though. Did it have a jiggle slider?
Because everything has jiggle.
Okay. Yeah.
Also an android, which...
With jiggly breasts.
I'm an android lady who's, I think, 200 centimeters tall. Very, very, very big. Very strong.
I've seen enough anime to know that you're definitely the biggest female probably in the entire game.
And I started with pistols because it just seemed funny to me that just role-playing that this character is this hench android woman, but then she just stands in the back and shoots things.
Everyone has their specialties. Your character's speciality is shooting things.
It's the better have control of the recoil. That's upper arm strength. But yeah, that's it. But otherwise, it's the usual Gacha Hell. I still haven't managed to get Klee in the newest update, and there's only like a week left on that banner. I'm not putting money in I'm not putting money into Genshin. No, it's not happening.
Be strong, Nikki.
It's going to happen soon though, because there's supposedly going to rerun Ganyu, and then also there is a ninja character coming soon who's also who dresses like a raccoon. Apparently she uses a claymore. Now this character is small. If they're actually going to give a claymore to a small character for the pure comedy value alone, I need that character.
That happened in Tales of Vesperia. Yes. But anyway, the game I want to talk about this week is Yakuza 5. Surprise. Still enjoying the story very much. Much better story than Yakuza 3. If you'll remember, I was not a fan of that story because it was a real estate scam. Okay, there are a couple of types of games that I absolutely hate. Real-time strategy, can't get on with them. They're too slow. Sports games, I'm completely uninterested in sports at all. Online multiplayer shooter games also, but that might be changing because of Battlefield 2042 looked really interesting. But rhythm games. I don't like rhythm games because it's just you're doing the same thing over and over and over and over. Yakuza 5 has multiple rhythm mini games. I don't mean one. I don't mean two. I don't mean three. I probably mean three. It's just so many. Because you got singing, not karaoke, dancing, karaoke.
Wait, then, yeah, no, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and then I won't go into details to avoid spoilers because the story's brilliant. You should play it. But yeah, you have to do these mini games multiple times. And of course, I could have skipped a bunch of them, most of them, because you only have to do a couple for the story, for story purposes. But I want to get a higher completion rate, and I'm only on 25%, and I'm in the final quarter of the game. Somehow, I need to eat at more restaurants. I need to start playing pool and darts and bowling. And so much to do in this game. So much. But I hate rhythm games. They're so terrible. And then there's quick time events. I was in a fight in this last section where I'd be in the middle of hitting a combo move, and then it'd go into a cutscene with a quick time event button pop up immediately. So while I'm trying to stop my thumb from hitting the kick button, this button prompt has been and gone because I've just hit the wrong button. So my character gets his ass beaten for a few seconds. I hate QTE. I hate rhythm. But I'm in the final quarter of this game. I'm nearing the end. I don't think I've got any more rhythm games unless this guy is really into karaoke. But I still would highly recommend this game.
I'm really into karaoke, if it means anything.
I do like the songs. I don't like doing the songs.
Oh, I think it's great. It's like one of my favorite bits of the series.
I like the, because you start singing the karaoke song and you're pressing the buttons, and if you get a certain percentage of button presses correct, it'll fade into a different scene, like the character sat at a bar and singing like a music video, or they'll be on stage in front of an audience, and that sort of thing. I do enjoy watching those scenes. At one point in this particular game, I went and sang karaoke as Kiryu, and for the music video scene, he sat in a bar, and is Batam in Kamurocho, and he's looking longingly at this photograph, and you don't see it at first, and then it shows it, and it's a dog, and I was so confused, because why is it the dog? Why is it not the kids from the orphanage?
I love this dog.
To be fair, it was the dog from the orphanage, so I suppose.
That's his favourite member of the orphanage.
Yeah, so Tai Chi, he's the one who made me put on a wrestling mask and wrestle in the sand. Yeah. 2 years ago. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of sand, but not, Dead by Daylight has had its latest crossover characters introduced. The Resident Evil chapter has begun, bringing Nemesis from Resident Evil 3 and the characters Jill Valentine and Leon Kennedy as the killer and survivors, respectively, to the asymmetrical multiplayer online experience. This also includes skins for Jill and Leon of Claire and Chris Redfield. If you prefer those characters, you can spend some money and get those skins. Or blood points, or however it works. But anyway, my wife doesn't like it because she's scared of Nemesis. And when you start the game, before you even get into character selection, it has Nemesis saying, "Dead by Daylight."
Stars.
She does not. It does not say stars, and she does not like it.
I love it. Because Nemesis is such a fucking bad killer in this game. And everyone is playing as him. And no one knows how to play as him. He's so slow. Like, he has two attacks, from what I can gather. I've not played as Nemesis. I play as a survivor normally. But what I understand, he's got two attacks where he can hit you with his little tentacle. Well, it's not a little tentacle. I really need to stop saying that. It's a big tentacle. It's fucking huge. Or he can punch you. And the punch, in theory, I think is meant to be quicker than the tentacle, because the tentacle does more damage. Or whatever. But the punch, even though it's quicker, is still really, really slow. So, like, he winds up, he's like, "Rrr," and you can just sort of, like, run off. And he's like, "Rrr," and he misses. And like, that's it. Like, everyone who was playing as him would, like, come up to you and try and punch you. And he'd be like, "Rrr." And you know, like, those, like, concrete walls from Mario 64 that would fall over? Yeah, it was like, thwomp. It's like that. Thwomp, yeah. "Rrr," that one. That is Nemesis in this game, right? But in fairness to the balancing of the game, from what I've played, anyone who plays as Jill or Leon is a dickhead. So it all works out quite well. because they're just like, oh, I'm Leon Kennedy, so I'm just going to leave and walk to the other side of the map and stay alive. And I'm like, it's a skin, mate. Like, literally, it's just a skin, isn't it? Like, do the generators, you prick. No, no. I'm a police officer, and I'm like, I'm not talking to you ever again.
I did have a good hearty laugh because it launched, and then mere hours later, they had to take the new map down because there were problems with it.
There's problems with loads of their maps, though. But they're really, like, they try so hard. To be fair, they try really hard to balance it perfectly. But I feel like every time they make a slight change, which favours the survivors or the killer, the other side just loses their mind. But, like, I don't think either side, like, comprehends the fact that for there to be a change, it has to sort of go one way or the other. Like, it's hard to make a neutral change. And if you are making a neutral change, that what's the point of making the change anyway? So, like, it's one of the reasons I feel so bad for, like, the people who make the game, because, like, every time they add something or they bring new stuff in, it's never perfectly balanced, because no game is. Like, it's, you know, when people find a way of breaking it, they'll find a way of breaking it, won't they? Because they're gamers, that's what they do. But for some reason, like, every time they bring something new into Dead by Daylight, it'll favour survivors or killers, or there'll be a new perk that's a bit OP. And within an hour of it being out, everyone will be furious. And it's just like, just give it time. Like, literally, like, 90% of people playing this game will not be at an advantage because of this. Like, just let them know, and they'll figure it out.
I was trying to think of a neutral change. I thought, oh, what if they adjusted the lighting? But no. People complain, oh, it's too dark, I can't see the survivors. Oh, it's too dark, it's too bright, the killer can see me too easily. Yeah.
Literally, every single change.
Well, speaking of changes to games, Cyberpunk 2077 is now available on PlayStation 4. You can purchase it again. It was taken off sale because Sony didn't want to deal with all of the refunds that were happening because of the state of Cyberpunk 2077. However, they have the caveat, for the best experience on PlayStation, playing on PS4 Pro or PS5 consoles is recommended. So if you don't have a PS4 Pro or a PS5, then you're still really losing out.
Is the jump in quality between the PS4 and PS4 Pro version that big?
I doubt it's the quality. I imagine it's the stability of it.
Yeah, good point, actually.
Clearly, we have nothing to say about this.
The PS4 version is still broken. It's...
Yeah.
Sales, we said the other week that sales are massively slowed down. Like, I think at this point, unless you, for some reason, just really were holding out for the PS4 version, you've probably already played it or just given up.
I'm trying not to be just negative all the time, but it's dead, isn't it? Like, no one's buying it now. Like, the damage is done, and not because they took it off the PlayStation store, but because of the response to it. Like, it sold less than 1 million copies since the turn of the year. Like, that's not good, really. I know it's probably made its money already, but, like, it's not good. And, like, bringing the PS4 in, it'll give it a little boost. Like, you know it will, but it's not really going to give it a boost. Like, anyone who's got a PS4 has got a disc drive, so they could have got it on disc anyway. So if they were that desperate, they'd have it by now.
That's true. Well, something that you can't have quite yet, the release version of House Party, an adult game where you are at a house party trying to sleep with all of the ladies there, and a couple of men, finally leaving early access towards the start of next year. I previewed it just after it released into early access, and it's quite fun if you like sex games. The full version is apparently going to have a female protagonist, and they've started to tease a DLC pack, which will have a special guest that many of us will recognize, whatever that means, and they're even talking about a sequel, Office Party.
Is it you? Are you the special guest?
I wish. Yeah, I'm looking forward to March 2022 because it's a fun game. It's well made for a small studio, Eek Games.
Hey, is that all you do in this game? Is you just sleep with people?
You have to do the point and click thing of find objects to bring to person to get them to give you a different object to go somewhere else and give it to someone else, and then they'll do something. And
is that how you get women in real life? Like, you just go up to them, like, you just download Tinder, and they're like, if you can bring me 6 AA batteries, I'll give you a new item to give me. Wait, actually, no. We skipped over a big fucking big one here. They're doing a sequel called Office Party.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea because it can be a bigger space because the house is very cramped. There's so many characters.
Office Party? It's just asking for issues, that isn't it? Think about HR. What if you're the boss? It's against the law.
Well, it
climbed 10 stairs because the elevator's broken.
Step boss, what are you doing?
Just letting that hang there. That might be the episode title, I don't know.
What's your favourite character in House Party Ace?
I can't remember their names. I played it when it first came out. That was ages ago.
I don't know their names. I just see them as objects. That's not a good particular... That's just Nicky going, I'm never joining this podcast again. I hate you all. Pig men.
Oh, dear.
Speaking of not nice people, Sea of Thieves has launched its season 3. I say not nice people because Puce keeps getting pirated because it's a game about pirates. He keeps having his treasure stolen from him.
It's a very exciting update because not only is it a new season of content, a new season of unlocks, it's the Pirates of the Caribbean storyline has released 5 tall tales that tell a unique story about 2 worlds colliding and, well, 2 oceans, I guess. But Captain Jack Sparrow is in. You got David Jones. There's a whole bunch of other characters whose names I've actually forgotten. And just a whole bunch of new gameplay mechanics and abilities that have just been added. And finally, easily the most important piece of news about this entire update. Fuck all the cosmetics and all the gameplay changes. The Kraken has a face and it's fucking adorable.
Wait, does it have a full body or is it just a face?
Body now. So it's teased in the trailer. I haven't actually got a chance to go and play. But in one of the tall tales, you fight the Kraken, but it pops its head through the wall and attacks you with that as well. So the hope, and this is a speculation, the hope is that means that they might change how the Kraken in the open world behaves and that potentially we could have the Kraken, because the body is there, the asset has been made, so maybe we'll actually get that now. Because some of the stuff that's in the tall tales is bleeding out into the full game, like the new enemy types. So sirens will now attack you, which is terrifying. And yeah, just bits and pieces that I think will really start to mix things up. But me and Puce have been jumping into Sea of Thieves quite regularly, just doing like an hour here and there, and it's been an absolute blast, honestly. Like, we've been doing vaults, skelly ship battles, and for the most part, avoiding other players because they're not always horrible. Actually, most encounters we have with other players have actually been quite nice, or we've just sailed past each other. The few times we've actually like gone toe to toe with other players, one was quite annoying. But the other two were just generally quite funny. There was one instance where we spent an hour harassing what we believe was a father and son duo. And in the end, we didn't... Neither sunk either, but like in the end, we won because they finally pissed off because a stray cannonball happened to just hit a gunpowder barrel they had in their boat. So all I heard was the cannon shot fire. Me go, was that you, Puce? Puce go, yeah, and then something, a mighty bang, followed by loads of swearing in Spanish. And look, you don't have to speak another language to know when someone's panicking, is all I'm saying. the game has, the closer you are to other players, you can start to hear them. And it was just funny as they then sailed off into the distance, and slowly the shouting and swearing got quieter and quieter. And we then finally got and did our vault, and it was good, lots of loot. We reckon we'll hit Pirate Legends probably by the end of next month, which would be quite nice. But yes, the new update is exciting. It's a big patch. I will let you know next week, I suppose, about it.
Looking forward to all that Disney content.
It's the good Disney, though.
Are they releasing all five episodes today?
All five already out.
Oh, shit.
That's not what they do on Disney Plus.
Yeah. On Disney Plus, they released one good series called WandaVision and followed up with two really lackluster series, but that's a different podcast for a different day.
Well, speaking of Disney, so Marvel's Avengers had a update. This was pointed out to me by Rhodes just before the podcast, and so I haven't had much time to look into it, but you can see other people's IP addresses on the screen. Well, no, sorry, you can see your IP address on the screen, which means if you are streaming this, people can see your IP address, which is not good for your local security.
Yeah.
There's a guy, I've already seen a tweet of a guy who updated and realized his IP was on. He's already been DDoSed. I was like, what? Can you DDoS someone's internet? Is that a thing you can do with an IP address? I don't know.
It is worth noting, literally just as we're talking, the developers, words, Nikki, use words to describe your point. The developers have acknowledged that this is a problem and they're going to try and fix it soon. And that's about it.
Soon. So stop streaming our game for now.
It's a really bad bug, though. I'm pretty sure it's definitely illegal. To have such information in plain sight. Well, I guess it's not technically plain sight, it's only on your TV. It's your...
You are publishing your own IP address on your Twitch channel.
I guess that is a valid point, but it's unbelievable that something like this can pass through any kind of QA, isn't it? I know we joke about Cyberpunk was a bad game and stuff like that, but sometimes the issue is so glaringly obvious, you think someone at some point would have gone, what are these numbers at the bottom of the screen? Should they be there?
Yeah. I mean, just to give some context, literally right now, at the time of recording, the patch went out 3 hours ago. As of 2 hours ago, Marvel's Avengers were like, we're aware of the issue, where a floating string of text appears on the screen and are investigating. Thank you for your reports. And then as of, I think it's an hour ago, it's the, please refrain from streaming for now if you're experiencing this issue. We'll update when this issue has been resolved. But no, that was 2 hours ago.
God.
Things are looking good for the Cosmic Cube update.
But, I mean, nothing. It game's curse, isn't it? Nothing goes right for it at all.
Okay, this is a joke that people who've seen Atop the Fourth Wall will get, and probably not many others. The Cosmic Cube can do anything, including sharing your IP address.
Are you going to insert a laugh track for that? Because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
But
in the comics, the Cosmic Cube, as I just said, can do anything. You hold it and you can change reality to suit you. It's not good that someone was holding the Cosmic Cube and said, I wish I could see people's IP addresses on their streams.
I think it's a shame, because from what I know, I think they were top of the PlayStation Now charts last month. It was the most played game on PlayStation Now. I've heard good things about this update as well. So
it was one of the highest played, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. It was, I think it was level with a few exclusives, as you would expect, but I think it was the highest ranked third-party game, I want to say.
Someone should have said.
It's just a shame that it seems to have got the interest there. People have obviously gone out of the way and downloaded it, clearly enjoying it, what they've played, and the update was getting good reviews, and yet they've somehow managed to bugger it up with such a glaringly obvious issue. I feel like it's another one of them. It took a step forward and was fucking leaped backwards again.
The final news topic of the episode is about one of the best Final Fantasy games, Final Fantasy IX. They've announced that it's getting an animated adaptation, which will be for 8 to 13-year-olds, so the Ben 10 crowd.
As a 27-year-old who hates Ben 10, I'm absolutely livid about this.
I don't care who it's intended for, I'm going to watch it.
Isn't Final Fantasy IX really dark, if I remember rightly? Like, it's fucking... No. Isn't like, I'm but, pretty sure there's, like, genocide.
Okay, all of the games involve genocide to some degree, don't they?
Yeah, I guess so.
But, I'm going to stop tripping over words. Cyber Group Studios, production studio in France has announced this alongside Square Enix. They're going to handle worldwide distribution, licensing, and merchandise. So probably Netflix or Funimation or something. And the news story, the site that I found this on, says that it centers the plot of Final Fantasy IX centers around a thief who kidnaps a princess and then teams up with her to save the kingdom from evil forces. He's a circus performer. He's not a thief.
Yeah.
No, I mean, his job, like, his job selection is thief, but...
I thought he was a thief.
Okay, so it's... When did the PlayStation come out? It's been a long time since I played.
Hey, so are you sure you play Final Fantasy IX? Are you sure your favorite Final Fantasy isn't like Final Fantasy IV or something?
It was the third PlayStation game.
It's the guy with the tail. You know that, right?
Yes, I know that. And the princess decides on the name Dagger because she sees a dagger.
Yeah, that's not right. They weren't geniuses with their writing back in the day. I like it. I won't watch it. It's the only Final Fantasy game I like, but I'm not going to watch it. I think it's a strange target audience, because I feel like the buzz of this is people who are going to be my age, like mid to late 20s. And I'm not saying they're not going to watch it, because like you said, Ace, you're still going to watch it anyway. But I feel like if you targeted it at them, like kind of like, what is it? Castlevania on Netflix. Like, that's targeted at people who would have been kids when that game was, you know, near its peak on the PlayStation 1. So it kind of like connects with them a bit better, like because it's more mature, it lets them enjoy it more. I'm not saying it will be bad because it's for kids, but it means that you've got to be a bit more scaled back on what you do.
It doesn't actually say what the show is going to be about. It just says what the game is about. So it could be a comedy show. It could be 15-minute segments, two of those slapped together to make a full episode.
I hope it's a 12-episode, 2-minute... 12-episode series, 2 minutes long, and it's 2 minutes of Zidane trying to hide the fact that he's got a tail in really comedic fashion.
So one episode he's wearing a hat on his ass.
Yeah, and just stuff like that. Like, one episode he shaves it and, like, just, like, puts it down his leg and, like, pretends it's part of his leg. I don't know, I'm not a comedian.
Went a different way than I thought you were going to go with that.
Don't be like that. I'm not a comedian, I don't know. I don't write these things, but let's be honest, it'd be a brilliant show.
Well, so I thought the main topic might be a good one for which Final Fantasy should get a cartoon next.
All right, hear me out. Final Fantasy IX, but it's 12 episodes long, 2-minute segments, right? Of Zidane trying to hide his tail. And also King Glaives 2.
Okay, get Toei Animation on the Final Fantasy IX one.
I think at this point you need to remind me which ones haven't had some kind of animated series.
Well, I've lost track of what Final Fantasy XV had going for it. It had a movie, a book, a manga, mobile game. Did it have a series?
I think it was a really good mobile game, didn't it, Nikki?
About that mobile game. That mobile game still going, still makes the company millions, and is generally one of the worst things I've ever played. And it's probably one of the harshest reviews I've ever written for the site.
I like, in my head, it's one of the worst things you've ever played, just slightly ahead of the actual Final Fantasy 15 game.
Annoyingly, I actually liked Final Fantasy 15, but it was one of those games where I finished it, put it down, and then slowly over the next couple of days just kind of unraveled all the problems and was like, oh, wait.
You know what? I've got it. I know how Square Enix make things nowadays, right? So they make an anime series, right? But you have to like pay for like DLC episodes to get the whole story, like in Final Fantasy 15.
You clearly never played as Azeroth, where you have to actually the final, like, that game, its chapters were anime episodes, and the final chapter was actually DLC you had to pay for. So the actual ending of the game was behind a paywall.
Isn't that the game with the guy who's like bigger than the planet?
Yeah, you can punch someone in the size of the moon. But going back to Final Fantasy for a minute, Final Fantasy 10 or 10-2 could work as a show, because 10-2, you could just focus on like wacky adventures of free lesbians treasure hunting.
And doing pop idol stuff.
Fuck yeah. There you go. Idol, right? It's an idol treasure hunting show. And it's like you get the typical anime tropes where it's like, oh no, we're stuck in a tomb, but we've got to hurry back for the idol show. Oh no. And like, it'd just be great. And it'd be magical and lovely. And Final Fantasy X would just make sense because it's a very linear game with a very sort of well-paced story. Like, you could probably break that into a 24 episode anime, no problem.
I thought you said they were stuck in a tube then.
So they funny. Might be.
Stuck in a tube. Ugh, God damn.
Then, right, going back to Final Fantasy X-2, what you could then do as well, right, is you can do an OVA episode, because you can be a little bit more raunchy in those, and that's just the bit where you have to do the massage mini game, and the whole episode is just the massage scene with her name's LeBlanc or something, I think, and like, God, being a kid playing that, I was so confused. I was like, what's going on? why is she moaning like that? It's just a massage, right? And now I'm older, and I'm like, oh.
What I think would make a good series is Final Fantasy X, but it's a crossover, so it's just Blitzball versus Captain Tsubasa.
Yes.
So Square Enix wants to just get in contact with me and my email address. Pay me whatever royalties, probably nothing. I don't think they even pay the staff, do they? So I'm making this up. I probably shouldn't say these things really on the podcast today, Ace, but
game journalism, am I right? Dissidia would work, because Dissidia is literally a fighting tournament. So you could just literally do one episode to set up the thing of like all the villains and all the good people are gonna fight, and then every episode is just a fight.
Oh yeah, that's quite good actually.
Going back to 10 and 10-2 for a second, the problem with making 10 and then making 10-2 would be that they'd be meant for different audiences. The 10 would be more action oriented, and 10-2 would probably be they probably aim that at girls, because the main character's a girl, and boys can't watch things that are...
Look, Ace, the whole time I played Final Fantasy X-2, I was a girl at heart. I want you to know that.
X-2 is the most, like, gay thing they've ever made. I think everyone would be looking at it. Even the guys in there, like the three guys from each faction, they are so gay. Like, everyone's buying that game. Just...
Oh, oh yeah,
we'll just ignore the really depressing like actual plot that's running through that game and the terrible 10-3.
I think what they should do is they should make a series, like it should be a 15 show series, which is like all of the games, like just like, but the game story told in like an anime, like one episode sort of thing. But they should just change out the main characters into different ones. So you're just playing like, you'd be watching like the Final Fantasy 7 one, but it's just Lightning. In actually, that'd just be the same game, because they're just both fucking bland as fuck, aren't they? Cloud and Lightning, so.
How about just a Final Fantasy anime and it's just all the characters?
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, just do what Fate did, where like they did a spin-off anime that was just all the characters in the Fate series just in daily like slice of life. I want to see Cloud and Sephiroth fighting in the schoolyard. Aerith and Tifa going to clubs. And whatever the fuck Catsif is, I don't know, teacher.
Oh, I hope they do like a really shitty, like trashy reality show. Like Big Brother, but with Final Fantasy. And like it's Square Enix trying really, really hard to make everyone like make Cloud win. But like the Warrior of Light wins. And they're fuming about it for like ever.
It seems Cloud has lost the vote and will be leaving the Big Brother house.
Why are they Welsh? No, keep yes. that in. I like
keep
that.
That in. Keep that in.
I'm keeping that in. I don't know the voice because I don't watch that show.
Plot twist, it's like Drippy from Ni No Kuni is the host the whole time, and it's actually a game within a game. Oh my god. I'm a genius.
I know like sometimes I complain about terrible voice acting in games, but I want to go down on record for just again pointing out that Mr. Drippy in Ni No Kuni being Welsh is the greatest decision ever, and whoever made that decision, I love you. Platonically.
Square Enix did not make that decision.
No, it was over the localization.
Square Enix would have been like, do a weird laugh that they can meme in 10 years.
What's cheap? My friend Jeff, he's Welsh. That'll do. Give him some beer.
We had such a good moment to end the episode on, and then just Rhodes came trampled all over it.
But mate, listen.
Could have ended with platonic love, but...
I'm not ending with mate, we're talking about Final Fantasy. Look at how like fucking broke down structurally why I hate every single one of the games except like two of them.
Yeah,
including Final Fantasy VII, the animated series is coming soon.
It's not Final Fantasy VII, mate. It's nine.
Guys, I've just realized there is actually a Final Fantasy anime.
Yeah, of course there is.
Yeah, let me there's
Final Fantasy Unlimited, isn't it?
Yeah, Final Fantasy Unlimited.
Yeah, did you not know that?
Yes, but I just remembered. I mean, there's a reason I probably forgot.
Yeah, of course. Like they make shit things, these Square Enix. Like, you remember that time they went out of business because they wanted to make a really expensive animated film and they just learned their lesson? Like, they're like, you know what we need? We need more of that. And they need to just keep failing.
It's the American way for this Japanese company.
It's the American way, but we're Japanese. It's the Japanese way.
Eventually.
If you don't get that reference, listeners, then... hate you.
Eventually Square Enix will make an animated Final Fantasy something that is good. Like they like by the power of deduction, someone somewhere will accidentally inject creativity into one of these things. And we will enjoy I don't like Final Fantasy, but other people will enjoy it. Right? And I'll be fuming because I can't shit on it. But one day they'll get it right. Just 12 episodes of Zidane hiding his tail. That's what you need. Square Enix. Come on.
And on that note, I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Nikki and Rhodes. And thank you for listening to this episode. Don't forget to check out GameGrin.com where you'll find all of our writing. Keep an eye on social media. Just search for GameGrin to find out whenever a new episode goes live, as well as the daily news, reviews, and articles. If you subscribe via Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Stitcher, thank you. If you can leave a review on your platform of choice, an even bigger thank you. And finally, game on.